Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The COVID-19 outbreak, the response, and what it's done to the economy has turned all of our worlds upside down and inside out. And if you're like me, you're feeling the weight of it all with sadness, trouble sleeping, anger, not too much worry, and even some boredom. But you're not alone. We're all feeling this mental health negatives and what this is all what we're experiencing. And what does this mean? How is America's mental health system prepared to dealing with this wave of people who need some support? We're talking about mental health and COVID-19, and we welcome your calls. Tell us how you or how you're feeling about everything. Give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined by Gilbert Gonzalez, director of the Bexar County Department of Behavioral Health. Gilbert Gonzalez, welcome to The Source.
David, thank you so much. It's good to be here during Mental Health Awareness Month.
And also with us, Greg Hanch, the executive director of the Alliance National Alliance on Mental Illness Texas. Greg Hanch, good to have you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us, we're joined by Megan Lawson, doctor of psychology, licensed psychologist at the Clarity Child Guidance Center. Megan Lawson, good to have you with us this afternoon.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
It's great to have you. So let me start off with going to Greg Hanch with the National Alliance on Mental Illness. What are we seeing as mental health being impacted with this crisis?
We're seeing an impact across society. You might even say in this time that mental distress is sort of the norm, which is not usually the case. A recent survey shows that 56% of people said worry or stress tied to COVID-19 has had at least one negative effect on their well-being. Nearly half of Americans are saying that the coronavirus crisis is harming their mental health. We're seeing major increases to inquiries to mental health hotlines. The federal emergency hotline for people in emotional distress showed a more than 1,000% increase in April compared with the same time last year. So the coronavirus crisis is having a profound impact on our mental health. People are experiencing new symptoms of depression. They're experiencing isolation. Anxiety is one of the most significant concerns that is being identified. And it's something that isn't just felt, you know, acutely in this moment, but it's also something that will be experienced for a long period of time, even after the acute crisis dies down.
So, Greg Hanch, as we're there's so much going on right now. It's not just we have the outbreak of this pandemic. We have the virus that's hitting everybody. It's all these other things that are related to that. The response, people having to, which is requiring people to socially distance, people losing family members, loved ones, fear of getting the virus, the economic distress of being your school, not you know, you go off to spring break and you never come back, all sorts of things that are happening to people all the time. Just, and it's the level of uncertainty and even the gross incompetence of our national leadership in dealing with this has got to be adding to that anxiety as well. So it seems like the people who thought they understood the world, they are realizing they probably didn't. And now that's causing them to have these difficulties.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, there's just profound uncertainty right now. And it's a lot for any of us to wrap our heads around. And at any moment, you know, one in five Americans has a mental illness. So you have a lot of people right now who are experiencing an exacerbation of their pre-existing mental illness. And then for all the reasons that you've just laid out, many, many more people are experiencing mental distress and the symptoms of mental illness that, you know, they've never come across at any point in their lifetime before. So it's a really difficult and complex situation that, you know, we all have to try our best to wrap our heads around and deal with in this moment and in the days, weeks, and even years to come.
Gilbert Gonzalez, director of the Bexar County Department of Behavioral Health. How are we seeing this locally?
We are seeing increases in what you can imagine. We are seeing increases in rates of depression, addiction, and suicide. You know, David, we are living in a time of the unimaginable. No one could ever have thought that this was going to happen. The key is, though, that for the goal here, especially during the pandemic, is wellness. And in wellness, that's where we use the term we. But let me just go back to your question. Prior to COVID-19, the most common mental health condition in the United States was, and still is, anxiety. Right now, those levels are just going through the roof. If one is not anxious during this time, something's wrong.
And but you don't want to have a level of anxiety that's going to be crippling. That's the concern.
And that's correct. And that's why the message is, you know, we have no control over what happens, but we do have control over how we respond. And by accessing resources, the resources that are available, and I'd be happy to go through those, then we can all together help each other. For example, there's two resources I'd like to mention. First of all, Bexar County has, we have completely redone our website so that now by going to bexar.org and then just scrolling down for mental health resources, you'll find an array of information that talks at the level of, you know, I'm feeling stressed and anxious, or I'm feeling alone and isolated, or I'm feeling overwhelmed with parenting demands. So what do you do and how do you reach out? Within that, we have that'll take you to our website. And in our website, we have even a little icon that says, here are telehealth resources. Here are the resources that you can reach. So even if you don't have a smartphone, a phone will work. And there's other resources available as well. Bexar County maintains a bibliotheque, which is an all-digital library. It has a plethora of resources there. City of San Antonio has an incredible array of information at sanantonio.gov with respect to, you know, what's happening for COVID and what's happening for the mental health issues. The state of Texas also has a resource sports helpline. Now, this can be confusing or disorienting, but all you really need to do to remember is go to bexar.org, mental health services, or sanantonio.gov, and let the fingers do the walking. So you know, we talk about social distancing. Social distancing does not mean social isolation.
We're going to be talking about that when we come back from the break. We're also going to focus on what this means for children. They are certainly feeling the anxiety and the disruptions. And what does this mean for them? How can you be on the lookout for what this means for a child in your home right now? And you can call in with a question or comment. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, mental health in the time of COVID-19. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. How are you doing managing stress and anxiety in the face of COVID-19? The outbreak of COVID-19 is stressful for many folks. Fear and anxiety about the disease can be overwhelming and cause strong emotions in adults and children. But coping with stress will make you and the people that you care about and our community stronger. So that's why we have to talk about this today and help each other find a way to be resilient to this. So how are you feeling? Do you want to talk about it? Give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're also joined by Megan Lawson. She is a licensed psychologist at the Clarity Child Guidance Center. And Megan, how are children, are they particularly vulnerable right now?
Absolutely. I do think children and adolescents, they're both vulnerable right now. Just like the world as we knew it changed pretty suddenly, their world changed too, and they lost school and friends and sports and in some cases seeing grandparents and they're feeling the anxiety that we feel and that leadership feels across systems. And they're also experiencing symptoms related to this, what I would call, or what we are calling, a collective trauma. And kids are, what's unique about them is they don't always have the language or the ability to express their worries and fears like we do. So it's a particularly vulnerable time for them in some regards.
All right, let's go to a caller along those same lines, Catherine. Catherine, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm a teacher. I have two children, and I feel very capable of dealing with just the day-to-day parenting and their lessons and everything else. What we're struggling with is my daughter, who is 11, has she falls to pieces over the just little things, an art project that she gets frustrated with. And our language, the things we know to say, we've kind of run against. We don't know anymore what to say and what to do and how to help her.
And is it more so now, or was this?
Oh, yeah. Yes. She was, you know, tended towards anxiety every now and again, particularly over things like math, but it has gotten much more significant.
All right.
And we're not sure where to turn, what to do next.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Megan Lawson, what do you think?
Well, first of all, as I hear that you're a teacher, so thank you. I think all of us are really realizing how hard the role of a teacher is right now, those of us with kids at home. And to answer your question, you know, I think that children and your daughter, she's more primed towards anxiety, then it would make sense that that's kind of how it's coming out right now. I often think, without knowing more about the situation, I think that it's always safe in those scenarios just to really validate the feelings and to really just try to reflect on the experience that your daughter might be having in that given moment. And sometimes maybe even taking a break, coming back to it, using distraction or some other coping skills that might be helpful for her. But it's always safe just to really validate, like, wow, you're feeling so frustrated right now. And this is really hard. And you know what? I'm having a hard time too. And then just kind of, you know, showing compassion and using distraction and then getting back to it.
So Greg Hanch with the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Texas, the concern is that people are so wrapped up with these concrete type issues, you know, hey, I lost my job, or this is happening, or we're concerned about this illness. It may be directly impacting our family, that people aren't really being able to allocate enough brain space to consider what's going on with their mental health. Do we need to figure that out?
Yeah, it's critical. I mean, there's an urgency to paying close attention to our mental health and getting the right resources and services that we need for support. You know, not taking care of your mental health can lead to a host of other problems down the road. And quite frankly, it can be a matter of life and death in the short term and in the long term. So, you know, everyone who is experiencing that some level of stress or anxiety or isolation right now needs to know that there are resources available for support. You are not alone in this fight. And you can connect with online programming. A lot of services are being made available through telehealth or, you know, some sort of online platform. In fact, NAMI Texas and NAMI San Antonio have online support groups that are available for free. And all people need to do to access those is to visit our websites, and they can connect with other people who are experiencing similar issues and get advice and get recommendations on sort of how to cope with these new challenges. And to the previous caller, I would highly recommend checking out the NAMI Basics on-demand program. This is a program that's available for any parent or caregiver of a person age 22 or younger. And what the program provides is understanding and compassion and tips for how to best support a young loved one, a child, youth, or adolescent who is experiencing signs and symptoms of mental health. The program is available for free on an on-demand basis. So all you have to do is visit NAMI Basics On Demand, and you'll get access to a six-session program on how to help your young loved one who is experiencing challenges related to mental health.
We have a voicemail. Let's give it a listen.
Hey, how are you guys doing? My name is Zach, and I'm from San Antonio. And so my mom passed away in February 25th of this year. And, you know, on one hand, I'm thankful she didn't have to live through what we're experiencing right now with COVID-19, but of course, you know, it's thinking about her every day, so it's just the toughest thing I've ever had to deal with, you know, losing a loved one like this. You know, it's kind of the whole situation going on right now, and the uncertainty about everything, as well as, you know, just now being without my mom as an only child. And, you know, granted, I'm 31 years old, I'm a man, I've got a full-time job, I'm, you know, I'm not struggling, but it's still tough. So, therapy is something I've done in the past, and definitely something I'm considering again in light of everything that's going on in the world today. But if anybody's listening that is considering therapy but is worried about the ramifications of what people will think, I would say to you, don't worry about that, because it's usually the best thing that you can do for yourself if you're even considering it. The way it was once described to me, and I can describe it to people now, a therapist is somebody that is biased towards you and your well-being alone, and it really does help to talk. I know it may seem kind of weird to talk to somebody that may be a complete stranger, but you'd be amazed at the way it feels and the amount of improvement it can make on somebody's mental health.
Gilbert Gonzalez, director of the Bexar County Department of Behavioral Health, when do you know you really should go talk to a therapist?
You know, first of all, my condolences to the caller. I'm so sorry that so sorry for his loss. A loss of your mom or your dad or any relative is a profound moment, and I think we all share a sense of just sadness together. First of all, I would say there's a difference. Let's take, for example, anxiety. Normal anxiety is considered a level of anxiety that's appropriate to the situation. It is very appropriate to be so sad and at a loss right now when you've gone through something like what our caller has done. I understand that. Where you want to intervene is where that sadness is so severe and so hard that it interferes with any level of adaptive functioning. If you can't get out of bed anymore, I mean, all of us have a hard time getting out of bed, especially when a profound moment like this happens. But when you're all of a sudden stuck, or your thoughts just keep coming at you, that's the time to reach out. I want to say also, there is nothing to be ashamed of or you know, worried about what people are going to think about you. This is the time to reach out for support, to make a phone call, to call a friend, not reach out and touch someone, as we used to say before, but reach out and call someone and get help for that. You know, most everything has been canceled, but hope has not been canceled. So I would say to everyone, the difference is when you cannot, you are literally catatonic almost. That's when you need to get help.
and Megan Lawson, doctor of psychology at the Clarity Child Guidance Center. So there are people who are dealing with already things that have to be processed on top of what's happening throughout the world with the COVID-19. Does that make it more complicated for trying to help people find some wellness?
I mean, yeah, I think that we're all trying, we're all just kind of trying to survive during this time. And I do think it makes it harder. I think that we've had to get really creative in our solutions and our ways of connecting. But I also think we've done most places and systems have done a really good job adapting to the need. For instance, you know, at Clarity, I know it was pretty quickly we switched over to telehealth as an option for our outpatient. We continue to see people inpatient who are at a higher level of care, but we had adapted pretty quickly. We pretty quickly put out a wealth of resources on our website and our One in Five Minds campaign. So at www.oneinfiveminds.org, there's a ton of resources that are really helpful, I think, for parents, for teachers, for caregivers of children and adolescents. And I think that we've done a good job of rising to the challenge in many ways, but it is certainly difficult and it certainly is a challenge.
Yeah, but so we're thinking about the short term right now. It's also going to be long term impacts on mental health as well. And is that being considered, Greg Hanch?
You know, I sure hope so, because we can certainly project, you know, a long term impact to mental health as a result of this crisis.
Because some people are saying we're all going to have some level of PTSD when we come out of this. We'll all have maybe some fear of crowds, or some folks will be more have a higher tendency of hoarding because of the uncertainty that we're dealing with right now, and depression, anxiety, even suicide.
Yeah, those are all, you know, impacts that can be anticipated, and a lot of those impacts can be tied to projections related to economic uncertainty and economic recession down the road. You know, there are models that project that for every 5% rise in unemployment, you see thousands of additional suicides, thousands of additional drug overdoses. So there's a real concern that as this economic situation resulting from COVID-19 continues to unfold, that if we don't step in and we don't put in place the right policies and programs and services, then many, many people will lose their lives, and many, many people will suffer severe mental health consequences because of that economic challenge that is here right now and that is coming down the road.
So what we're trying to do is help people identify that the symptoms that they're experiencing right now, that this is that they're not alone. Is that kind of the first thing we need to be looking at, Greg?
Yeah, and that's our big message right now, is that you are not alone. And, you know, we are, as Gilbert mentioned, we are in Mental Health Month right now. Every May is Mental Health Month. And you are not alone is a slogan that has been used before, but it's never been more pertinent. It's never been more applicable to our day-to-day lives than this moment, where we are staying home. We are intentionally isolating. And isolation is a hallmark feature of many mental illnesses, and it can cause many, many challenges for people when they are isolating. And now that we are isolating because that's what we're supposed to be doing, it's a real concern. But we need to know that when people are isolating, that they are not alone in doing that, that they still can stay connected to the social fabric of their lives, and that there still are resources and support.
All right, we're taking another break. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, mental health and COVID-19 on The Source. Stay with us.
COVID-19 mortality rates are high for people with underlying conditions like diabetes. Does diabetes put you at greater risk for infection?
No, you don't have a higher risk of contracting it. But if you do contract it and you have unmanaged
diabetes, you're higher likelihood that you're going to have a poorer outcome.
Diabetes and the coronavirus, next time on Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 45% of American adults say the pandemic has negatively affected their mental health, citing fears of contracting the virus and also financial distress. These are the two chief drivers of heightened anxiety these days. So what are some of the best practices to maintain mental well-being during this unprecedented health crisis? What coping mechanisms can be employed to deal with overwhelming anxiety and negativity? We invite you to call in. Tell us how you're coping right now. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can be anonymous. And let's go to, so we have a Twitter question. How is class affecting the availability of mental health? Are the wealthy and privileged more vulnerable? Let me pitch that over to Gilbert Gonzalez, director of the Bexar County Department of Behavioral Health.
Health services is a right for everyone, and it is available to everyone. So if you need it, you should be able to make a phone call. There's several levels. If you are going through a major concern or major issue, you can call the crisis hotline and we can give that out later. If there's an imminent situation, you can call 911 and they will address it. They are specially trained crisis intervention officers that do a phenomenal job. If you know of a family member, rich or poor, that is having problems or is a danger to self or other and does not want to get treatment, you can connect with the county here at the local Bexar County Mental Health Office for an order of emergency apprehension and detention. Or you can call the Center for Healthcare Services. All these numbers are on our webpage. So class is not what you need. What is there for as a factor to be able to address services? There are many services. This community has come together in an incredible manner.
So, Greg Hanch, Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, Texas. I've read about this. I've heard about this, that a lot of people are having nightmares or very vivid dreams or not getting good rest right now. Is that a sign? Is that a red flag?
Yeah, that's one of the concerns around mental health that people are experiencing right now. I think there is an uptick in nightmares, bad dreams that people are having, and generally disruptions in sleep. You know, sleep health is a major red flag. There are things that can be done to improve your sleep health, like getting good exercise, making sure that you're eating right, and trying to stick to sort of a regular routine. We definitely should be aware of the fact that when people are experiencing disruptions in their usual sleep patterns, that can be a sign that there's something taking place beneath the surface that needs to be looked at and addressed appropriately.
But from a Freudian point of view, I mean, your brain is trying to make sense of things. It is a mechanism that is hard at work while you are asleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly is something that can be noticed about the situation. I think we just need to be aware that sleep disruptions are a significant concern. At the same time, we should be mindful of what we're seeing when we're asleep, what our dreams may be telling us, because those can be an indicator of things that are impacting us when we're awake.
Let's go to the phone lines, and the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and we're joined by Leanne. Leanne, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Leanne, are
I'm
you
here.
There? Okay, all right.
Yes,
go ahead.
I am. Hi, I wanted to say that I'm a patient at CHCS, and I hate to say it, but my life has gotten better since this happened because all the things that I'm nervous about going to go do, like going to the doctor, I don't have to do that anymore. And I'm now involved in an online Zoom class with friends that used to work that I used to know and now invited me to. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right, Leanne, thank you for that. Megan Lawson, a licensed psychologist at the Clarity Child Guidance Center. Silver linings, I guess you could say, with that phone call. Some people now, they don't have to go out, and they already had some sort of social anxiety already.
Yes, absolutely. That's funny that that call came in, because it's one of the things we've been seeing a lot with children and adolescents, because for a lot of them, school is a really big stressor and puts them, you know, with peers, and so that can be anxiety producing. So, and the STAR test was, I know, removed this year in Texas. And so a lot of them, I think, especially initially, are like, this is awesome. This is an extended spring break. I'm home. I'm having fun. I can stay up late. I can play video games. And there have been some of, I guess, what you just referred to as a silver lining. And I guess my concern for those children, adolescents, and maybe even the previous caller is that, you know, when things get back to normal and or slowly get back to normal, I think that it's going to be difficult then. So just paying attention to, you know, the long term. This is a long term game. This isn't just a short term thing.
Sure, but avoidance is not a way to manage anxieties, I would imagine.
Of course. In fact, what we know about it is it reinforces it. And so some of the treatments when we're talking about anxiety, and I'm not saying right now we want to do things that put us at risk, but we, you know, we have to face our fears. And so eventually, I mean, I know this is an uncertain time, but eventually we are going to, hopefully, kids will be going back to school, and it might look differently, but they will be, and there will be anxiety around that. But if we don't do it, then we're just going to reinforce this.
Okay, so I'm really interested in about more of the details about telehealth. I've been hearing so much about it. I've never used it. I'm wondering, you know, is this a service that actually should more people should tap into? What's the first step in trying to get a handle on using this type of thing, Greg Hanch? Hey, Hanch.
Well, you know, there are a number of different types of telehealth services that are available and different providers. You know, I recommend starting with the providers that are local to your community. You know, many local providers have initiated the provision of telehealth as a result of COVID-19. So, you know, you can connect with some of the resources that Gilbert has been describing, like the Center for Healthcare Services, and seeing what they may have to offer in the realm of telehealth. You can always call 211, or the state has set up a COVID-19 mental health hotline. HHSC manages that hotline, and you can, you know, ask them specifically, are there any telehealth services that may be available to me? There are also text lines, but also we've been hearing from a number of different telehealth companies that have started to express that they're making their services available for free during the time of COVID-19. So you may want to just do a little research or reach out to us at NAMI Texas to see who may be offering telehealth services either at no cost or at low cost during this time.
Some people, when you say telehealth, you're telling them to watch more TV. And so, but there is some benefit, I guess, from just like tuning out from the world and watching just some goofy TV that's hilarious, that, you know, I mean, is there a benefit to that, Greg?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it certainly helps me with my well-being. I mean, I think it's really important that we intentionally disconnect ourselves from the constant flow of information about COVID-19. I mean, you turn on the news and that's what they're talking about. You call your family and all they want to talk about sometimes is COVID-19. So let's remember that part of self-care are connecting with things that help us detach from the relatively distressing reality that we're living in. And that can include, you know, playing a board game. It can include watching a silly TV show. It can include just going out and enjoying some fresh air, you know, of course, appropriately socially distanced while we're doing that. Those are all things that I think we can do to remind ourselves that things are eventually going to return to normal, and that, you know, there is more going on in our world right now than COVID-19, and it doesn't have to dominate our lives.
And Gilbert Gonzalez, I know you wanted to jump in on that.
Yes. You know, if there is a plus about this crisis, it is that there is a faster adaptation of virtual and telehealth services for mental health. Back in the day, as I started my career as a therapist, you couldn't do mental health. And the Medicaid and Medicare system said, oh, you can't do it. And now all of a sudden, those paths are being cleared away. So there is a greater ability to connect and to really be able to see somebody telling it. Well, I know in the criminal justice system here, we're doing some incredible thing. Our judges are now doing telecourt and so forth, and that's really important. I also wanted to underscore the limit on media consumption. One of the things that we've started in our household is that we have a no COVID news during the weekend rule. And so, you know, we distance ourselves. You know, the other thing I do want to mention, though, is that, you know, professional race car drivers, when they drive a car going extremely fast, they focus on where they want to go, not where the car is going. And so our mental focus is so incredibly important. So let's focus on what we need to do and what we're going to do about what's happening.
All right, so we're taking another break, and we will talk more about that and other ways, things people can do to engage in the positive. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It's not uncommon right now to be having feelings of anxiety, fear, loneliness, frustration, or anger. Life has been disrupted more than we could possibly have imagined. You know, January 1, this is not where we thought we would be come May. So people are very stressed. There's a lot of uncertainty about what's going on. So uncertainty seems to be the enemy as we talk about our mental health. Maybe we should be trying to figure out ways to add certainty as much as we can to our lives, and that may give people and children some ways of dealing with all of this not craziness that's happening in our lives. You can call in, tell us how you're doing that. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And so I want to go to Megan Lawson, with a psychologist at the Clarity Child Guidance Center. And, you know, if we do try to add structure and certainty to the life of people in the household as we're dealing with this, does that give some sort of grounding? Does that help?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the best and biggest things we can do is really kind of focusing on what we can control and then trusting, you know, that there are people out there, like there are people for the county figuring out how to reopen society. We don't have to solve that problem, but we can control the structure within our household. And so helping kids to kind of, one of the resources I really like that we have on our One in Five Minds the campaign website is just a blank schedule, and you can print it and fill it out. And I think having that and having it up in the household every day not only helps kids, but it helps us. You know, we will internalize that sense of predictability, and that's really helpful for us. And we can hold it lightly. We don't have to be like really strict about it, but just knowing like, okay, for the next hour, I'm going to be working on homework, and then I'm going to go outside and play, is really grounding.
And meals, planning out meals, knowing that, you know, this is...
Absolutely. Planning out meals, planning sleep. Sleep is one of the biggest things that I've been seeing getting off. And so planning those things out are really, really critical. Planning exercise, planning times to connect with others. even if it is through Zoom or through a phone call, but just planning those things and being really intentional about our time.
Greg Hanch, I've heard the expression, keep your world small and keep it in the now as a way of coping. Stop worrying about all of the things that you have no control over and stuff that's way out into the future or in the past. You know, if you can just sort of deal with what's in front of you right now within arm's reach and what's happening in your household, then maybe you're able to begin regrounding yourself and anxiety could start to become more manageable.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. I mean, it's important for us to put things in perspective and not worry about things that are outside of our control. We have to trust in our public health system that good decisions will be made and that good policies will be put in place. You know, there are people who are working around the clock to...
Well, we can't really do that anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do the best with what we got.
Mm-hmm.
But So what about journaling as a way of people processing their feelings and emotions?
I think that's a great outlet, and it's a good way to just get something out on the page and sort of dump your feelings and emotions. That's definitely a tool that is often recommended by mental health professionals for people to experience that catharsis of getting it all out there on the page.
And Gilbert Gonzalez, director of the Bexar County Department of Public Health, behavioral health, getting outside of the house, trying to get some physical activity,
That is so critically important. You know, I talked about maintaining our mental focus. Move. Anything. Walk, run, play ball, anything that has any physical movement. That has been proven to show an improvement on mental health and physical health. So not only are you improving your physical health, but you just feel better. Take a walk. Get a dog and walk the dog if you don't already have one. Incredibly important. The things that occur when our heart rate just goes up a little bit is phenomenally beneficial. I did want to mention one thing, though, before as we go on. I'd like to ask everybody to stay tuned for May 29th as we will announce a mental health awareness event that's going to take place again on May 29th, and we're going to invite the whole public. So I thought I'd put that in there right now before we run out of time.
Sure. Also, you mentioned that there was a hotline number, but you didn't give the number. Can you do that now?
Yes, there's several numbers. So for mental health conditions, so let me be clear. You know, anxiety, those we're going through. But when you get into the major issues just where you can't handle things, the hotline number to call is 210-223-7233. And that's the local mental health and Center for Healthcare Services. They do an incredible job with our crisis helpline. And then again, go to bexar.org, scroll down. You'll see an array of resources there, and even have an array of resources for reentry service for those that are involved with the criminal justice system.
So Megan Lawson, I've seen this online a lot, people posting pictures of their baking bread and stuff, and people are saying baking bread is having a moment right now, and saying, well, why is that? And I think it has to do that people just want to know that if you follow these directions, things will make sense and you will get the thing that you want. It will work out. If you follow the recipe, add in the egg and the butter and the flour, and you stir it and you put it in the oven, it comes out and you get this beautiful, people want that right now.
Yeah, I love that take on it. I really do. I don't know if that always works for me when I've tried to bake in the past, but I certainly like that spin on it. You know, I think that goes back to the wanting to control what we can. And so that's a positive thing. And I also think it's the connection. Baking and these kinds of rituals are really soothing and they can connect us. And so I think that is a really if there is a silver lining, I think some of those things are the silver lining in this. We're being intentional with our time. We're getting back to hobbies and things in our homes that we maybe have been neglecting because it was so easy to just run to the store and buy bread. But now we're pulling out old recipes and we're with our families and we're trying to, do these things together. And I think that can be the silver lining if we choose to see it that way.
But people are trying to figure out, if you are like the parent, Greg Hanch, maybe you can help me with this. Your job as the caregiver, as the provider, that may have been disrupted through the economy and things outside of your control. How hard has that been for folks?
I think it's a major challenge. There's a lot that people don't have control over right now. They're thrown into a situation that they've never experienced before, and they're just kind of grasping at straws to try to figure out what steps they should be taking. And I think they should really focus on the things that are in their control. You add in the fact that there are a lot of parents, some of whom are out of work, who also have responsibility for caregiving for their children and adolescents, and their children are asking questions that parents don't know the answer to. The children may be expressing that they're especially distressed and anxious right now. So I think parents just need to follow the tips, follow these tools that we've been talking about, reassuring your child or teen, validating their emotions, limiting their exposure to news and distressing information, and trying to be a good role model and showing your children that by practicing good self-care, by taking breaks, by getting sleep and exercise and eating well, we're going to help ourselves in the long run.
And Gilbert Gonzalez, what do you do if you have a loved one, adult or a child, who is experiencing some signs of they're not adapting well to this anxiety?
One, make sure that you really try to understand what's going on. If it's something that is not, it's like general anxiety, this is an appropriate time to be anxious about things or scared of things. These are unimaginable times, as I mentioned before. But if that behavior turns to something more serious, like suicide or a major depression where someone can't get out of bed, or even when there's harm to self involved, that's when you call, first of all, 911 if it's an immediate situation, and the police, as I mentioned, will respond. If for some reason the police department isn't able to respond, then again, you can call for an emergency apprehension and detention warrant. That comes through our Bexar County Mental Health Office at 210-335-2536. These are for instances where family members or loved ones are not willing to get help, but their behavior is so severe that they're in danger of harming themselves or others. And if not, you can call the hotline, the 210-223-7233. It's important to reach out and get help. Critically important.
And real quickly, like in 20 seconds, Greg Hanch, last time, some of the telehealth availability, what's out there?
Check out the NAMI Texas website, namitexas.org. We have free online support groups and education classes for anyone, family members or individuals with mental health conditions who are in need right now.
Greg Hanch is Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI Texas. Also here with us is Megan Lawson, Licensed Psychologist at the Clarity Child Guidance Center, and Gilbert Gonzalez, Director of the Bexar County Department of Behavioral Health. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.